For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs, episode 7. Woo! How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Chris?
I am fantastic because, well, we're doing much better now, so for the last 3 games. But anyways, yes. First of all, I hope everybody out there is okay too. We're doing well too.
This month has been a little bit trying on the Leaf fans' sanity.
It's just so up and down. Unbelievable how up and down this season is, and considering, like, we're still excited, but we were really excited before the start of the season. I remember with like, just because, you know, it's going into the fourth season with Babcock, and we just thought, we just had a good feeling. We did not expect all this up and down. Anyways, it's really not that bad, because we were just actually talking with Syl here, and we saw on Twitter, somebody posted this, the lineup from the 2015-16 season. So let's just give you an idea of how wonderful this lineup is. It's really not that, right now, you'll know that it's not that bad. So we had, I think this is the number one line, Michael Grabner with Peter Holland and Leo Komarov. Komarov, at least he's still in the league.
Yeah.
I don't know if Grabner in the league? I'm not sure. Anyways, we won't spend too much time. Then we had Colin Greening, who I think is still in our Marley team, I think.
I think so.
With Arcabello, which I don't know the first name of Arcabello, and P.A. Parenteau, who I think is out of the league now. Yeah, and then we had like Nick Spaulding with Daniel Winnick and Brad Boys. Josh Levo, who obviously is in Vancouver now. He's about the only one that, I guess, between him and Leo, they're decent players, and then Rich Clune and Byron Freeze or Fraze. So yeah, that's our forward lineup.
I think we've grown a little bit since then.
Yeah, and we had Jonathan Bernier in goal, and then on the D we had Hunwick and Riley, Gardner Polak, Marty Marinson, and Frankie Corrado. Everybody remember that, I'm sure. Frankie Corrado. But
we did live and die by Frankie Corrado for a while there.
Yeah. So, yeah, we just want to start off with that just so that we can all maybe take a deep breath and know that we are much better than what everybody is panicking about right now.
Oh, I kind of, I've been working on a little bit of a theory about this. I wonder if, you know, as Leaf fans, because we've got the talent that we have, this is like unprecedented for Maple Leafs of any generation. Like, Leafs have never had the best player or one of the best players in the league really ever. They've had really, really good players. Yeah. And we've had a lot of lunch bucket players that in Toronto we tend to love. Like, even on the Raptors, people love Kyle Lowry.
Right.
I kind of wonder if, because these guys are, the skill is ridiculous, the contracts match, we're not used to having beautiful, shiny things. And I think the expectation for that is through the roof because of that. So anyway, I kind of just feel like the expectation is so high because of the talent level that we are like, you know, we're used to people that grind it out and work super hard, and we get behind those guys. They're the underdog. These guys are so great that we're just like, what the, why isn't it working like instantaneously? It should be easier than it is. But I mean, hockey's not an easy sport regardless of how talented your team is. So I just kind of wonder if the, because the expectations are so high, that the patience level is not as great, because we know that these guys shouldn't have to work as hard as all those other guys that we've loved before in the past. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
And I'm
not sure I'm putting it exactly how I want, but.
And I think that comes down to how, I guess, Jake Muzzin has been saying that they're looking for the easy game.
Yeah, but I think the fans are also looking for the easy game.
And this is the NHL. It's, no game is easy. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be playing the Red Wings, who unfortunately are right now between the Red Wings and the Senators again, but
they've beaten up on some people that shouldn't.
So there's no easy game, sir. Yeah. So anyhow, they just seem to be, this month, they seem to be quite a bit fragile, like fragile team. Like, as soon as they get behind by one, it's like the end of the world. Like, when it's mm-hmm. in the, like, if they're ahead in the game by one goal and then the other team ties it up, and then all of a sudden it's like the end of the world for them. And yeah, it just, let's just go through a little bit of February anyway. So after once they came back from the All-Star game, the All-Star break, it was going really well. They played the Stars and they played the Predators. They played really good, two really good games. And then they followed it up with three not-so-great games versus the Senators, the Panthers, and the Rangers.
Mm-hmm. And the Panthers one was the kicker at that time. Yeah. Like,
and those were the ones.
Everybody jumped off the cliff.
Yeah.
During that game. That was the first cliff jump that we all did.
And I don't know. After thinking about it a little bit, I just thought, you know, it's not like, even at that time, it's not like the coach was being hard on these guys. Like, I mean, they were having they were having days off almost all the time. Like, it seemed like that anyways in between games, and they had their music going at the practices. And it was funny because the media, like, everyone, when Babcock got fired and everything, and they had this whole new thing with Sheldon Keefe saying that he's like, he has all these new ideas, having the music, having like them do skill, like four ice pads and separating the players out and having like skills development and all that. Everybody's saying that's great. And now all of a sudden everybody's like, oh yeah, sure. They're like getting days off and they're like, even though they've lost the game. And then,
so let me clarify, when it's working, it's great. When it's not working, obviously they're clueless, like, and the coaching staff doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
So that's where I think too, though, Sheldon Keefe should have, like, I know they were sick at one point. I think from what I remember, there was some sort of flu bug going through them as well. So that's fine. Like, if that was the case for one or two games, but that Florida game was brutal. It was like, they didn't show up at all. Like, you didn't, and they had the day off the day before in Florida
on the beach. And I remember seeing pictures of Willie and JT.
Yeah. Yeah, enjoying themselves.
They're going to be doing that again soon.
But yeah. And then, of course, there was the ultimate. We're not going to talk about this too much because we are both, I think, pretty fed up about hearing about the emergency backup goalie.
That's right.
Versus the Canes. I mean,
Nice story for him.
Yeah.
But I think 1 week's worth of publicity on that, and it's to move on.
Yeah, you all probably heard enough about it too. So we're not going to get into that. But basically, all I want to say is, I remember as I was watching the game, I sent Syl a text, I think, and I said I wanted to scream. I wanted to scream just like I screamed, in a different way, mind you, back in 93 when I went out onto the balcony and I screamed in her neighborhood, and I don't know if we were, she pulled me in. I do remember that. Don't you remember that, when we were out on the balcony? Yes, it was a different type of excitement, because that was when Borshevsky scored in overtime versus the Red Wings.
At least there were lots of horns on the street also echoing excitement.
It was a very quiet neighborhood she lived in Bathurst and Eglinton area. But so I woke up the whole neighborhood screaming, and I wanted to do the same thing here. And she actually told me to do it. But
I said, grab a pillow first.
Yeah, but so that's that Canes game with the emergency backup goalie, David Ayers.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that was a debacle also.
Yeah. So So on the positive though, too, we have, of course, our Austin Matthews. You're talking about star players that we have that are the guy is just a beast. Like, I don't know. He's the one guy, I think, that he's really learned. I don't know. I still think possibly he, between him and Morgan Riley for the captaincy. Mm-hmm. There's that question. But we won't go there. That's in the past now. That's fine.
I kind of feel
he's different. I don't know.
Somehow he is. But you know what? I think part of it is, and then this goes back to the fact that, first of all, okay, I need some wood to knock on. He's been healthy this year. but part of it, and before we started this podcast, I know we discussed this, I really felt that, you know, as a bigger guy being young, I don't really feel like he grew into his body yet. And when you're getting things like back injury, shoulder injuries, you know, as a mom, I can tell you that that's some of that has to do with growth and development. I kind of feel like he's growing into his body a little bit more this year. And with that, and this is where coaching does come into play, that you have to kind of get these guys to sort of stretch a little bit, not talking necessarily body stretching, although we know he does that before the game. But I mean, like, basically push themselves a little bit in ways so that they can grow into their game. And some of this, when you're a young player, is testing that to learn what your capabilities are. And I think he's starting to learn that he has these capabilities, that he's got a bigger body now. He's growing into that. He can use his weight a little bit more, you know, to protect the puck and get himself into positions that he maybe didn't, you know, try to before, because he's always been a younger guy who's super skilled. But now he's getting this body also that is enabling him to do things differently that he wasn't able to do before, if you get what I'm saying.
I must say, though, he needs to, he's definitely using that to the body to his advantage. And
starting to, anyways. I think I see it. Like, it kind of looks like it's always a sort of a, like, he knows he can do it. It's a little bit of surprise, but every time it works a little bit more each time, that just fuels his confidence.
But so he has now, as of after last night's game versus the Canucks, the last game in February, he has 45 goals now, and I think he's two behind Pastrnak for the Rocket Richard Trophy. So, he has 16 games, I guess, to hit 50 now for the Strive for Vive.
For Strive for Vive, he's...
To get that 50-goal mark.
No, but he's going to need 54. The 54 for the record,
If he gets it, I'd be happy with the 52. Sorry, but he
absolutely, because it's been a while since someone's done that. So such a young guy.
So and I guess a couple other guys I just want to mention that definitely need mentioning are like Zach Hyman and Willie Nylander. They are both playing phenomenal right now. Like, I don't know, for Hyman, I mean, it's a different. Like, he's now got 21 goals, I guess. And, the guy is just, he's always on the puck. He's always in the dirty areas. He's like the Energizer Bunny, as they say, right? Like, he's a glue, like, to the team. Like, I don't know. And then, of course, somebody, of course, mentions the whole contract thing. I'm like, forget about the contract thing. This is 1 year that we finally don't have any contract talk, because he has one more year left after this season.
With Hyman, I would definitely say, like, he's always the same. He's super consistent. And he's another one that he is also finding out what he's capable of. So, like, if you want to know if some of Sheldon Keith's coaching is working, that's where you see it, in those little things. Them upping their capabilities, pushing for a little bit more. Hyman's been doing that. Yeah. And I would say, like, in a month where it's been, you know, really, really a huge roller coaster, Willie's also been really, really in the groove and doing things that if you would have asked anybody last year, no one would have thought he was capable of. Yeah. Everybody thought he was a perimeter player. And this year, where is he scoring most of his goals? He's pretty much in the zone,
So right in the slot, right in front of the net.
And in all different ways. And what I love watching, I don't know if this is, I mentioned it last night when we were watching the game, that I don't know if they teach this in Swedish hockey school, but the way he, I mean, he's not like a massive guy, but the way he like throws people off of him protects the puck, it's really incredible. And the last Swede that I remember doing really, really well at that as a Maple Leaf was Matt Sundin. When he had the puck, there was no way you were getting it off of him. Different style of the way he did it.
He was quite a bit bigger, Matt.
And he's a bigger guy.
Yeah, but still,
But I really see that with him, that he, you know, he gets going and people are on him, but he just like, he gets position on them. So I think that's really key. So I do really see in these three guys that we just talked about that they are rounding out and finding out what they're capable of. Now, if we're going to take this a step further, Mitch, this year, I think he's struggling a little bit because...
Only this month a little bit. That's
because he's not...
You can notice he's pushing it a little bit. It's like he's frustrated a little bit.
I think so. Yeah. But I also see that I think that he's struggling a little bit to find his next level.
Yeah.
So he hasn't had that switch yet go off, but it will. And when it does, he's going to add another level too.
Yeah. No, so he'll be fine. We're not worried about
him. I'm not mentioning it because I'm worried. I'm just saying that he's one that is not quite flipped that switch yet, where he's kind of added that extra different something.
Yeah. Well, he had it in January, I think, or it was December when after he came back from that. It took him about a month from the injury.
Yeah, and then he was pretty good after that.
For a few weeks, and then now he's kind of come back down again. But he'll be fine, I'm sure. He'll, especially now going down like into the stretch drive, going to the playoffs.
But he's another guy that he could, you know, take it to another level if he puts on a little more size. Like he's obviously a bit of a more slight guy.
Yeah,
and isn't going to put on as much weight and muscle. Yeah. So, like, you know, they're young that way developmentally too. So I think people forget that as well. Yeah. That, you know, there's a lot of growth and change that happens for a young guy. And like, wait till they all hit 25. What the heck are we going to see? Like, I'm pretty excited for that.
I know. Okay, so let's go on to the goalie situation here.
Yes, the never-ending goalie situation. Yeah. There's always something to say about the goalie situation.
Yeah, before we get into the trade deadline, because we really didn't do much of the trade deadline, but we did our trading, or Kyle Dubas did the trading before the deadline, getting Jack Campbell. Thankfully, we got a backup goalie that could can actually back up Freddie, like make Freddie, I guess, feel like that there's somebody dependable behind him, basically, right? So
I think some of that has to do with his personality too. Like he's such a happy-go-lucky guy. He's like super supportive. He's like a real team player type person.
Yeah.
So I think some of that also helps because it's not like your backup is not sitting there fretting going, oh my God. And you know, like it seems like those guys were always a little bit like the anxiety.
Yeah.
Like so can't help the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So just to recap in case you guys out there don't No, I'm sure you know, but we got Jack Campbell on February 5th. Okay, so the trade deadline was on February 24th. We got Jack Campbell as well as Kyle Clifford from the LA Kings. So he's basically finally a legitimate backup to if we had Michael Hutchison there, and that's
short sample size, but it looks promising.
Yeah, so he's played in four games so far. He's 3-0-1, and it was just funny because, of course, Freddie got injured and he covered for him, basically. Jack Campbell, it was really good, actually, because he came from the trade. He was so excited. Both of them were really excited to be coming to the Leafs, which was nice to see. And he played so well. And then all of a sudden, when Freddie comes back, let's just say, like, after the one game, and everybody's like, oh, my God, like, no, they need to start Campbell right away. Freddie didn't look right, and his like save percentage is like horrible. All this is like, again, it was the controversy thing. But
well, overall, I would say that the Chinese farmer would say that maybe the outcome was good.
Yes, because I guess like a couple of weeks later now, and last night I think he really versus the Canucks, like Freddie now he really, there was no goalie controversy, like, no. Let's just put that down. Like, he's the number one. Like, he knows that. Some media people, I was listening to some of the different shows, and they were saying like Freddie's like he doesn't like somebody to push him, like to have a backup that pushes him from behind. He likes to be the guy and all this.
Well, going back to what I said earlier, that's like a comfort zone situation. So he doesn't necessarily he's never liked it. Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe he doesn't, but he's got somebody pushing him now. He's going to have to work through that. Yes. He's older now than he was in the past, you know, when he was a younger goalie.
He's 30
and
now.
He's going to work his way through that. Yeah. And I think we're starting to see shades of that, because the last two games in particular, I would say that he struggled at the beginning, but kind of found his way again. So I think he's going to work through it. And he seems to be, to me, it looks like he's coming around a little bit. So,
yeah, no, definitely versus the Canucks. Like he last night, he started coming around that Florida game where they were down 3-1 after the first period, I think it was. And even though I think he only had 4 shots on goal in the second period in that Florida game on Thursday night. And then, I don't know, he just looked, he seemed to be calm, his regular calm, steady stuff after that.
I wouldn't say he's quite steady Freddy yet, but he's steadier Freddy.
Yeah.
He's becoming more Freddier.
Because he didn't, he didn't have that many shots on Thursday night, but then last night versus the Canucks, he got quite a bit from them and throughout the three periods, and he played really well. So, yeah. So there's no goalie controversy, bottom line.
Well, I think everyone knows that for us to really make a dent in making the playoffs and in the playoffs, Freddie has got to be our guy. So,
oh yeah, we're not going anywhere without him.
No, and so I think that the modus operandi in Leafland coaching is to, you know, help him get right, and I think we're starting to see that now. You know, if he's slumping now, we're coming out of it now.
Yeah.
It's actually not bad timing.
Good.
So you know,
and probably Campbell, because they were all talking about the rest and all that. Campbell's obviously probably going to play versus the Kings in this first first week, the road trip that they're going out west, so
that would make sense.
Yeah, he's gonna get some rest, I think, on the trip. So yeah, so going into the trade deadline, since we Kyle Dubas didn't make any deals,
but that's because he did his stuff before.
Yeah, and there really wasn't anything, even though I think they were shopping Tyson Barrie a little bit. They just didn't find the right fit there, and I mean, it's an issue obviously on D with all of our now Muzzin is out too with the broken hand again, and we've had Riley out since January, so we're really thin on there. But anyhow, that's where the Chinese farmer came in. So, and that's another thing that you probably heard enough of, so everything so we won't get into
we'll
that.
We'll move off the Chinese farmer. Although I like the Chinese farmer story,
What was interesting I found was in the press conference after the trade deadline was over, the 3 p.m. had come and gone, when Kyle Dubas was talking and he said he didn't know what was wrong in his press conference. He actually said that. And it was funny. He was like, you could see he didn't know. And it's like, he looked like he was, like in his face when you were looking at it, it was just like, oh my God, like why is this happening sort of thing, right? Like the performance of the team, not the trade deadline, but just the way the team was going into the trade deadline. He was just in disbelief, like thinking like, why is this team so up and down, and the inconsistency, just his expression. That's what
I
got from him.
I didn't sense any panic though in him.
No
panic.
He would have traded Barrie probably.
Well, yeah, I mean, he would have done a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I have to give him credit for. You know, he's sticking to the plan. And but that doesn't mean he's not willing to pivot or adapt. But the thing is that he's not going to make knee-jerk reactions based on, you know, the fans freaking out or the media freaking out. They kind of have their ideas, so he doesn't necessarily know in this moment what's going on, but that's a test of resilience for the team. And I think he did talk about that, you know, mindset and focus, and resiliency is another piece. If you're not resilient, you're not going to get anywhere. Yeah. I mean, you have to be the ultimate in resiliency to win the Stanley Cup. So that's something that our team is learning, and it seems like on all levels. So like even management is kind of having to deal with that. Like you have to find ways to, you know, ask the right questions, but stay the course. And you're not going to get anywhere by making, you know, knee-jerk reactions.
Well, when he said that, like the way you were saying, the focus and the mindset, those are words that Kyle Dubas used, that immediately I thought of Mitch Marner's comments where he said the work ethic hasn't been there. So I thought to myself, okay, there's the connection there, right? When the player is actually saying, one of your leadership core players is saying that the work ethic has not been there. And then,
well, and actually I appreciated it with him because up to that point, like I heard the a lot of guys saying us, this, them, the team, da, 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 da. I didn't really hear anybody call themselves out and say I need to be better or what they're going to personally do differently. And I kind of wanted to hear somebody that, and of course he said that, like he called himself out and then everybody jumped all over him for that too. But I appreciated that personally as that a Leaf fan because I mean, at some point, all of these guys, and I think we've all sort of said that, is they need to look in the mirror and be like, okay, what am I bringing to the table? Because they all seem to be looking at their, you know, partner thinking, okay, or the guy next to him going, okay, you know, they're, what are they going to do? Because they're really talented. Let them do it. You know, like.
The only guy that's, well, not the only one, but Zach Hyman just seems to play.
Well, he plays his game regardless, and regardless he's always done that.
He can play with Tavares. He can play with Matthews, whoever. Jason Spezza. That's another one that he's.
Yeah, no, he's been fantastic. Keith has been good for him, that's for sure.
Yeah. So it's not that bad, really.
No.
Now, I guess, now that we're at the, we've won three games in regulation. So that's really huge. So we're five.
Especially given last night that Florida lost in overtime.
Yeah.
So they got the point. If we didn't get that regulation win, then that would have been a little too close for comfort for me.
Still, yeah.
So that extra point now is, I don't know. I don't know if you can really call it breathing room, but.
Yeah, no, this is really different actually for a season because every other year that they've made the playoffs, except for the one year, their first year, they backed into the playoffs that first year. But the last 2 years, they've been way ahead in the standings already. They knew who they were playing, like from January, February. But this year, it's a challenge, and it's something that, they're definitely learning a lot about themselves through this part.
I think it's a necessary evil. Unfortunately, they need to have a way or to know that they're capable of dealing with adversity.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you're going to have nothing but adversity in the playoffs. I mean, we know, especially the first two rounds that is the most adversity you're going to have.
And so. Just the fact with all the injuries on defense, it's just like, it's really, I think this is really going to help us in the end because all this, these Marinson and Sandin being 19 years old and being put in this situation, like it.
Yeah, he's making really mistakes, but they're, again, like he's going to learn from them because he's got high hockey IQ. I don't see that he'll be the kind of guy that's going to make the same mistake twice.
So looking forward to the stretch drive here in March. They got the West Coast swing coming up the first week of March. They're going versus the Sharks and then back-to-back LA and the Ducks. And I was wondering, actually, as I wrote that down, I thought to myself, I wonder if anybody took that road trip that we suggested from our second episode.
It's actually going to be quite lovely weather rounding out, but the only problem is the whole coronavirus situation. Maybe people will be less likely to want to travel anyways.
And we have the two big games versus going down to the Sunshine State again, down to Florida, one versus Tampa and then versus Florida as well,
and that one's going to be here, and I'm so glad we're going to that game. At the beginning of the season I was like, should we keep this Florida game? I don't know.
And then versus the Bruins, we still have one versus them, so that should be interesting too, the whole
because we haven't played them for a while. So that's sort of like a real, that'll be a real good eye test because it's possible that we could end up playing them again. But I guess now it's sort of looking more like it'll be Tampa.
Yeah, but yeah, and that'll be, well, now with Steven Stamkos being injured, that's huge, right? So that'll be interesting if that happens. But yeah, and then we have the game versus Carolina on March the 26th.
Which we better freaking show up for.
If we don't win that game, I mean, I screamed, or I wanted to scream and go outside and scream, but I don't know what I'd do if I'd if we lost that game or if we didn't show up for that game. Like that, that I expect us to win big that night. We should.
Yeah, because I mean, if you look at, if you want to look at teams that are basically doing it on based on heart, that's them.
Yeah.
Heart and passion. I mean, the celebration they had after that and everything, they're like so over the top. But you know what? That's what, that's the glue for their team.
Yeah.
Like that's their glue.
Yeah. So no, their fans love it. They brought him down to the game there and he did that siren thing or whatever the hell they got. So but we need to win that game on March 26th. I don't care about any of what their fans like and all their shenanigans, whatever the hell they do down there. The what's it called?
Storm Surge.
Yeah, their little games that they have at the end of the thing. It's fun because that's what that market likes. But So I guess. Do you got anything else to say?
No, I think I'm looking forward to the way March shakes out. Like towards the end of this month, we're seeing signs of life.
Yes.
And I think that this is, it's going to be obviously very telling and we'll see because we'll be on the brink of either being in or out.
Yes. When we next talk on April the 1st.
Yes.
It's April Fool's Day.
We will show up though it's April Fool's Day.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So for now then.
Go Leafs, go!
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.